I hope that's your testimony, that you boast in Christ your Redeemer and find your value fixed in him. One of the things that we want to do as elders is share our testimony of faith with you all so you can get to know us a little bit better and encourage you in your faith. Four of the elders have already shared their testimonies in the past, and you can find those on the biography section on the website. And we will be doing that throughout the summer as well with the other four of us to proclaim to you what Christ has done in us and through us. Perhaps like many of you, my church and my parents were influential in sharing the gospel and helping me understand who Jesus is. I grew up here at Maranatha. My parents prayed for my salvation. They read the Bible to me. They showed the example of what it means to live for Christ. Almost every night before bedtime, my parents would read the Bible with me, pray with me, and sometimes sing together. We would also sometimes read through a prayer booklet that Maranatha put out about our missionaries, and we'd talk about their ministry and pray for them. And it was one time while praying for these missionaries that the work of God around the world impacted my heart, and my mom explained to me what they were doing and why it was so important. And I remember her telling me about how they were preaching to people about God, and I wondered for myself, do I understand who God is? And she was telling me about how they would tell people about their sin and the sin that pervades our hearts. And I had the same questions of, am I a sinner? And wondered how God saw me because of my sin. And she told me of God's justice and forgiveness and Jesus who died in my place. And this was the most important moment of my life when God showed me my own sin, showed me that I could do nothing to resolve that problem on my own. And God showed me that I was no different than the natives in Papua New Guinea or the refugees in Austria, Croatian refugees even. I was a sinner and I needed a savior. I'd been taught the Bible many times before, heard the gospel so many times, and heard about Jesus, but I remember that night, God made it absolutely clear to me that the consequences of my sin and the joy of a reconciled relationship with God, I had to have resolution in my heart. And God changed my heart that night and put a new desire in my heart to trust in him. And I repented of my sin and I was saved and had eternal hope. But God didn't just take me to heaven in that moment. 1 Peter 2:10 says that he does transform us out of spiritual darkness and into his marvelous light and makes people what they weren't before. And that's what he did. He called me to live for him and grow in his righteousness. Like 2 Timothy 2:22 says, to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And God graciously showed me Jesus in my childhood, but it didn't stop there, and I needed to continue to follow him and continually live a life of repentance and obedience to him. Here's just one example of how he continued to teach me and train me in the Lord and even discipline me as we read this morning. When I was in my first year of high school, I had two mindsets. Of course, I did want to follow the Lord. I did want to learn his word and follow in the footsteps of godly men and women in my midst and share Christ with others. But I was also double-minded. I was two-faced. I was caught up in the traps of the world to follow the culture of cool and wanted the attention of other people. I wanted to be like them and talk like them and act like them. And so at school and sometimes even at home, I acted like an entirely different person. And my dad noticed this and he gently exhorted me to turn from this way of two-faced living. And I thought about it, but my response was really delayed because of the pride in my heart. Shortly after, I was at a meeting with the youth to go to Utah on a short-term ministry team, and it was there that the youth pastor had told me that those who serve in ministry and go on any short-term ministry trip or really in any ministry context, they're not going to have any impact if the words that they speak are true, but their lifestyle doesn't match it and their testimony is false. I was so convicted. I was feeling so guilty. And the Lord did hit me with a proverbial 2x4 over the head that day. And I remembered my dad's counsel. And I wanted to change. And I wanted to stop living the lie. I wanted to stop living to please others. And I repented. And I made changes with friendships that were ruining my heart and influencing me in negative ways. And I asked other believers to help me in my new desire to live faithfully. And I was discipled further by godly men. I think of Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, eager for good deeds. Of course, there's more stories I could tell you of how he's taught me even in the last 10 years, but we'll save that for another time. This is the testimony of how God graciously saved me and called me to live for him until he returns. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you as you live a single-minded life for Christ.